The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A little tiny thought for you here for the day. If you heard me speak the other day, you might remember I made a little tiny point in which I said that whenever Jesus performs a healing, there's almost always something physical involved. You know, a touch of a tassel, or there's almost always something physical involved because he's preparing the way for the sacraments. Well, I wanted you to sit up and take notice today, because in this healing from the Gospel of Mark, it is the most physical healing found anywhere in the Gospels. In no less than 7 steps does Jesus heal this man. Takes him away from the crowd, puts his finger into his ears, spitting, touches his tongue, looks up to heaven, groans, and then finally speaks the word "Ephphatha," be opened. No less than 7 steps, as if he's leading him by sign language. Now, for some funny reason, people tend to want an exclusively spiritual God. I remember getting into arguments with people in college about the sacraments and this sort of thing. And you'll hear people say things like, "I'm spiritual, not religious." People seem to want this exclusively spiritual God. I just wanted you to sit up and take notice to this excessively, almost crudely physical healing. And remember, this is the real Jesus, okay? There's a reason why we have sacraments. Now, a second little thought I have for you today, just kind of as a minor little thought, is that as soon as this man is healed, Jesus orders him not to tell anybody that he's been healed. And this is something that happens many times in the Gospels, so frequently that it even has its own name. This ordering to keep the healing secret is known as the Messianic secret. So why is it that Jesus would tell the man to keep it secret? Well, there's lots of reasons. Let me just give you 4. 4 reasons why Jesus tells the man not to tell anyone that he's been healed. The first is that if he tells them that he's been healed, and word gets out that maybe now the Messiah is among us, that's going to provoke the Roman authorities. There will come a time when it's okay by Jesus to provoke the Roman authorities. That'll be the time of his crucifixion and his passion. But that time hasn't come yet. Jesus chooses when he's going to offer himself in sacrifice for all of us, and he has not yet chosen that time to come. It's the first reason why he asks him to keep it a secret. Second reason is that people misunderstand what the word Messiah means. As I know I've mentioned before, remember, the Messiah was going to be the descendant, the heir of King David, and the one who was going to draw all the peoples of the world to once again worship the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And people thought that that meant that the greatness, the economic and military might of the days of King David and King Solomon would return. And Jesus wants them to know and us to know that there never has been and there never will be a political Messiah. We should all stop hoping for it or expecting it. Here's a third reason, a little bit closer to home, as to why Jesus tells the man not to spread the word that he's been healed, is that Jesus doesn't want the people of his time to seek him out because of the things that he can do for them. And that's just as true for you and me too. And there's nothing wrong with the things that God can do for us. You can yearn for peace in your home, peace in your heart, joy in your life. These are great things. But you want to know what? A pure love of God is willing to seek him out no matter where he leads. A little mental exercise for you sometime to think about. If there were no heaven and there were no hell, if this life was all there is, would you still try to keep God's commandments? A pure love of God is going to say yes. Why? Because in and of themselves, they're good and true. There's nothing wrong, as I said, with the things that God gives us. However, God pays so well that sometimes following him can seem like a mercenary endeavor. Our Lord knows that real love isn't like that, and he wants us to seek him for himself. Now, the final reason that I could come up with, at least, is why Jesus doesn't want anyone to know that the man's been healed, is because nobody's going to understand Jesus until after they see him suffer and die and rise. And similarly, a little lesson for us to kind of think about and pray about. We can't understand Jesus, you and I can't understand Jesus until we learn what it means to voluntarily adopt sufferings for the well-being of somebody else. That is to say, we don't know who Jesus is until we choose to share in his cross. Real love doesn't look like a Valentine, does it? Maybe in an idealized world on Valentine's Day, we'd hand each other little chocolate crosses or something like that. Real love is shaped like a cross. And that there's a reason. There's a reason why our Lord asks us, take up your cross and follow me. He wants us to know who he is by sharing in his love. And this is the challenge. There's a reason why we have the cross at the center of our church. What do you and I want to do? We want to pray to have that same cross at the center of our lives. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that today. Saint Cyril and Methodius, pray for us.